This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
This is Randy Snyder. Before we begin today's message, just this word. Most of the time on Cross Hope, you hear series of messages. For instance, we just finished an 8-week series called Blueprint from the book of 1 Timothy. The rest of the month of December, we're going to simply share some standalone messages. One will be from Palm Sunday this year. One will be from Easter. Obviously, a Christmas message the week of December 21st. And then a New Year's message the week of December 28th. In January, we begin a brand new series. God bless you as you listen to Cross Hope the rest of this month. Jason is from Santa Clarita, California. You leave Los Angeles and go north on Highway 14 on your way to Edwards Air Force Base, Lancaster, California. You come to Santa Clarita, I think on the west side of Highway 14. He writes a powerful story out of his life that I'm not even going to read to you. It's about a lot of tragedy in his life, sickness, death. He just says this: I once heard a quote that said, I can sum up my life in 3 words, life goes on. He said he believes that that defines his life, is that life goes on. And he said the reason is, he said he's so tempted to define his life by those sad events, those bad events. And he said, I don't want my life defined by those negative events in my life. And I agree with him. And I'm going to suggest to you today that as a believer in Jesus Christ, your life and my life, get this, is defined by the cross. As strange, as crazy as that may sound. Everything in history points toward the cross, pre-cross. After the cross, everything looks back, and the cross is the pivotal point of humanity and history. Those of you that do any engineering at all know that a pivot point is a very special thing. And the pivot point of history, in my opinion, it was not the Civil War or wasn't this bubonic plague or whatever. The pivot point in history is the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's the event, get this, that shapes your life and mine. That's the event. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 1, Paul is speaking, and in verse 18, on this Sunday, we talk about the cross right before Easter. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That word power, dunamis, we get the word dynamite from that. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. Isn't that interesting? Not what was read or taught or shared, what was preached, proclaimed, to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, Greeks meaning non-Jews. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
Well, all this week, a message called the pivot point of history. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
They still talk about this event in the Billy Graham organization. There was one particular crusade in some city, I don't know what city. It was pouring rain the day of one of the meetings. I mean, they said it wasn't raining, it was pouring, constantly pouring down rain on this particular evening of the crusade. It was so bad that people weren't just wet, people were soaked. If you had a raincoat, you still were soaked. It was that kind of rain, blowing rain. So a decision was made quickly by those in leadership for the crusade saying, you know, we just can't make people sit through an hour service. And quickly, Billy Graham just got up at 7:30 when it was to start, soaking wet himself, and said, folks, we're not going to make you sit through a service, a special music, and a 300-voice choir and all that. All I'm going to do is say this. Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. And he was buried. And he rose again. If you need Christ in your life, you come forward right now. And hundreds of people swarmed forward. No message, no special music by some hot singer of the day, no 300-voice choir, just people streaming to the front saying, I need Jesus Christ in my life. Why? The preaching of the cross. That's all. All Billy Graham said was that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. There is power to the message of verse 18 that says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying or perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but there are men and women in all three services today. At one point in their life, they thought it was a joke. They thought the cross was just some kind of a religious event that people talk about. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Maybe it was real, maybe it's fiction. But now that they have come to know Christ and his forgiveness, it's the pivotal point of their life, just like it is for some of you. It's the day you point to, the day your sins were forgiven. And you know what personalizes the cross for me? I don't know if this works for you, is to realize that when Christ died on the cross, every sin that I ever have committed, every sin that I ever will commit, was on Christ at that moment. Forget about him dying for the sins of the world. I'm talking about him dying for your sin in particular, and my sin in particular. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying spiritually, perishing spiritually. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I was looking up some material one time on the internet about stages of life. There's a lot written. There are books. Gail Sheehy wrote a book on the stages of people's lives. And sometimes maybe you have focused on the different stages in your life and, you know, where you're at in your life journey. And I found this from 1612. That's a long time ago. For 10 years, a child. At 20 years, a youth. At 30 years, a man or woman. At 40 years, well done. At 50 years, stationary. I guess in 1612, they thought when you hit 50, you're stationary, so that's what it said. At 60 years, old age begins. That may be an announcement for somebody today. Old age begins at 60. At 70 years, an old man or woman. At 80 years, no longer wise. At 90 years, the scorn of your children. And 100 years, may God have mercy on your soul. At 100 years, may God have mercy on your soul. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You need God's mercy, whatever age you are. And you need the mercy that's demonstrated by the cross. By the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You need God's mercy, whatever age you are. And you need the mercy that's demonstrated by the cross. By the cross of Jesus Christ, that's where the power is. Any power that's in preaching has nothing to do with the one speaking. I really believe this. Any power that's in preaching is not in rhetoric, it's not in logic, and we're trying to wow people with our logic and our intellect. If there's any power of preaching, it's in the message of the cross. That's why Billy Graham could get up at that stadium somewhere in the country, pouring rain, and say, if you need Christ, you come. Power of the cross. The power of the cross. Jim Downey is from Central Missouri. He has a sad story, but it's a powerful story about forgetting. He said, December 12, 1969, my world changed forever. I was 11 years old. It was the middle of the night, and I woke to flashing lights from a police car in our driveway. There was a knock at the door, and I heard my mom answer it. Then I heard a man say, "Marlene, Will's been shot. Will's been shot." You see, my dad was a cop. As it happens all too often, he was killed during a routine procedure, in this case, a burglary investigation. They caught the man who killed my father that same night. He was tried and convicted, sentenced to die. The sentence was commuted by a higher court in 1973, and to this day, he's in prison. Now, here's what Jim Downey does. He talks about how every day since that terrible tragedy in his life, his dad being shot, he said, "All I do is try to get that out of my mind. All I try to do is forget that man who's in prison. All I try to do is forget that day I saw the flashing lights in the driveway." And you know what? The harder he tries not to forget, who wants to guess what happens? It all comes back. He turns on a television program, and it's a Western one night. And it's about a man avenging his dad's death. All came back. He started weeping. Turns on the news report. A police officer shot in St. Louis, in whatever city. He was in Missouri. From whatever city they got the news. He said it all came back. It all came back. You know what? I'm convinced that there are things that happen in people's lives that you've been trying to forget. But you know what? You won't forget. What do you do with it? You lay it at the foot of the cross. You take the unforgettable moments of your life, the unforgettable people, you take the unforgettable tragedies, and you lay them at the cross of Christ, because you see there's power in putting something figuratively or literally at the foot of the cross. I really believe that. Get this, there is spiritual power, but there's also emotional power. How do I know that? How can I explain that? Look at verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block." People have trouble with it. "A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to non-Jews. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." I want to suggest to you that there's something dynamic that happens in a man or woman's life when they take something that's difficult, something that's painful, something that hurts, something that creates agony in their life, and say, "Lord, I put it at the cross." And here's what I want to ask you. If you know something better to do intellectually, tell me. Tell me, because I don't know what it is. No one has ever been able to tell me something better than that, more powerful than that. I'll tell you about a woman from Frankfort, Indiana. I'm from Indiana, but I don't honestly can't tell you where Frankfort, Indiana is. Diane's from there. Let me read her story to you. Let her tell you a story here. "I am a 10-year breast cancer survivor and lead a cancer support group in my hometown, Frankfort, Indiana. Several of us are long-term survivors, so we can be encouragers to others. It's always a sobering reality to hear the testimonies of a dozen women in various stages of treatment or recovery. One woman was attending her first meeting, newly diagnosed, frightened, and still struggling with the shock of the diagnosis. She starts chemo this week. A 31-year-old mother of two, the youngest, who is 2 years old, is halfway through her treatment. Her hair is just growing back as she finished chemo and prepares to start radiation. Another woman is in the heat of the battle again, as the cancer has returned and is now spread to the bone. Several people inquired about two absent members who are losing their battle. They were too sick to attend. Sobering indeed." And I read all of that to share this. Diane from Frankfort, Indiana, writes about a newspaper article that was about her group. And the author, the reporter who did the article, put it up this way. He said, "These are people who live within the shadow of death." Well, Diane took umbrage with that, and she said, "No, we don't." She says, "As a Christian, I live in the shadow of the cross, and it's different. I live in the shadow of the cross. I know what Diane meant. She was going to face life head on, and she said, God calls me to embrace life, the good times and the bad times. But because I live in the shadow of the cross, life is different than somebody who simply lives in the shadow of death. I'm going to suggest to you today that you either live in the shadow of death or you live in the shadow of the cross. Well, what in the world does it mean to live in the shadow of the cross? You believe in the Christ of the cross. And you believe in the power of the cross. And you believe in the forgiveness that the cross brings. And you believe in the hope that the cross brings. First service, Vietnam veteran here in first service at the Tet Offensive, one of the worst battles of Vietnam. And he was talking to me about the power of the symbol of the cross. That there was something that emotionally came over him just seeing a cross around someone's neck, seeing a cross over a grave, seeing a cross anywhere, crudely fashioned out of two pieces of wood. Why? Because of what it represents. There's nothing magical about the cross. And I'm not trying to imply that. There is power about it because of the one who was on it. Nothing magical about the cross, but powerful because of the one who died on it and gave his life that you might have forgiveness of sins. There's a hymn, we don't sing it anymore in church. It's called, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, Towering O'er the Wrecks of Time. What a line, towering o'er the wrecks of time. A man by the name of Bowry, B-O-W-R-Y, wrote the lyrics to that song. You say, what was the inspiration for it? He was shipwrecked in the South China Sea. He was clinging to a piece of wreckage, a piece of wood from a ship. There's a big thunderstorm going on. I don't know if you've ever been on the water when there's a thunderstorm and just lightning bolts everywhere and thunder everywhere. And he said, here he is bouncing up and down in this ocean that's tremendously volatile. And every time there was a bolt of lightning, he would look toward the shore and the only thing he could see was the lightning reflecting against a cross. You think it made a difference in his life to see that cross? It did, and that's why he was able to say, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. You know who the wrecks of time are? You, me, we're all wrecks without Jesus Christ. Now, one of the most interesting stories I've read in a long time, I think I'll close with this one. A man by the name of Richard Rinaldi, means nothing to you, meant nothing to me until I read his story. Richard Rinaldi is a professional photographer in New York. He uses what's called a box camera that takes an 8x10, I think it's an 8x10 field of vision or something like that. They're just a real close-up camera. It's the old camera on the tripod that some of you have seen pictures of. And what an interesting project that he took on that he put into a book. He goes into places like bus stations. And there'll be two or three people that don't know each other at all. They're just strangers waiting on a bus, waiting on the next Greyhound to leave town. And he warms up to them. He said, could I borrow two of you that you don't know each other? I'm a professional photographer, and I'd like to take a picture of the two of you together. And they're strangers, two complete strangers. And then as he warms up in the picture-taking process, he says, could you put your hand on his shoulder? Well, okay, I don't know this guy, but I'll do that. And maybe as the time where, can you just put your arm around him or her just a little bit more? And then he photographs these pictures of total strangers touching one another. Not in some, you know, sensual way, but just in a generic way. And then he's produced the photographs and had them on display in picture exhibits, art exhibits in New York. And this is what intrigued me. People will see pictures of two strangers with arms around one another, and they start weeping. Something in the picture connects with them, of two strangers embracing one another. And I'm thinking, if that has power in a person's life, two strangers just putting their arms around one another, a hand on a shoulder, and people look at that picture of two strangers relating in that way, how much more does it mean that you and I have a common Savior and a common Lord, and we both have the same Lord in our lives, and we can be people who love one another, not as strangers, but as members of the body of Christ. But let me tell you something. There's power in believing in what happened on the cross. It does something to your spirit. That's why Billy Graham could say, Jesus died, buried, rose again. Come. And people came by the hundreds. Why? Because of him? No, because of the power, the preaching, the proclamation of one word, cross. 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 Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, we need you in our lives, and every family that's in this room today needs you. There's something they need to lay at the foot of the cross. I realize every week I'm preaching to people who want to forget somebody or something. And they're trying to put that somebody out of their minds, and they're trying to put something out of their minds. They're trying to put something out of their past. And the only thing I know to do intellectually is to say, the cross. You live in the shadow of the cross. Do something with the cross, with that thing in your life, that person. Lord, I found that that's when people get relief and get peace, because they know the one who was on the cross. His name is Jesus, your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, next week on Cross Hope, the follow-up message to the message you heard this week, it's about the resurrection. The cross this week, the resurrection next week on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you hear on our program. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.